From ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania, Leon Compton.
Daniel Hackett and his wife Simone are proposing a luxury camp on Halls Island in Lake Malbina in the north of the state, inside Tasmania's World Heritage Area. The proposal, if you're new to the state, would see 30 trips a year of up to 6 guests flying in and out of the area by chopper. And the matter's seen as a test case, both for the state government and its plans to promote private access in wilderness areas, but for also for those strongly opposed to the same plans. This week, the matter's been in front of the Resource Management and Planning Appeals Tribunal after the Central Highlands Council said no to the proposal back in February. Daniel Hackett, good morning to you. You're a fisherman.
Yeah, yep, definitely.
Can you understand why fishers who enjoy this area, many of them up to this point, your friends, are so opposed to the project that you've put on the table here?
Oh, yeah, no, that's quite simple. We've got amazing natural assets in Tasmania and everyone wants to protect them. So, I've got no problem with anyone wanting to protect our lovely state.
Mm. And you understand why so many of the people in the fishing community are opposed to what it is you're proposing?
I understand, without doubt. I probably question what they're opposing. You know, there's sort of, I guess, the media, the lobby group perspective of what we're doing. For instance, you know, the Wilderness Society have their version of what we're doing and we have our version and, you know, people are opposed to all sorts of things within that may or may not be happening. So I could probably qualify it like that, but definitely understand, yeah.
Yeah, so I suppose, and that's why I wanted to focus on the fishing perspective of what you're doing, given that you're someone who's spent so much time in the rivers and lakes of Tasmania.
Yeah.
What they're opposing is that this is a place traditionally people have walked into, you've walked into traditionally, and they don't want 60 chopper flights, so 30 in and out a year, going over their heads and see this as a test case for more of it to come if you're successful.
Yeah, I absolutely think the important bit about that is the test case for future things to come. You know, what I read online about myself, which is kind of embarrassing, I guess, but you got to do these things. It's all about, you know, I think to paraphrase, you know, what Hackett is doing is probably okay, but what's next? That's the concern. And unfortunately, that's not something I can particularly address. You know, I can only sort of address what I'm hoping to do, but I understand those concerns.
The perception is in many circles that you're in fact sort of a stalking horse for other people, that you're a private operator. I think you and I spoke a few years ago when you won an award for your guided fly fishing. The perception is there are powerful interests from the tourism industry that are pushing you to do this, that you are seen as the wedge through the door that others will follow.
Yeah, nobody's pushing me to do this. I wouldn't do this for somebody else.
You have significant investors. You have significant investors that are backing this proposal. It's not just you and your wife, though.
Oh, no, we certainly, we're the majority owners, but we do have other Tasmanian families helping us out.
You're not majority owners, though, by capital investment in the project, though, are you? You're majority owners in terms of the shares in the company.
Yeah, and I think the shares sort of reflect the value. So, you know, if you could sell the shares, in other words, I would come out with the most money. So I'm happy to say I'm the majority shareholder, or my family is. But in terms of thin edge of the wedge, if you want to use that old-fashioned sloganism, I'm definitely the meat in the sandwich on that battle. Yeah, there's nothing I can do about that, unfortunately.
What does it feel like being the meat in the sandwich, given the amount of attention that
Oh, it's very confronting, no doubting that. Yeah, if I could be second in line, I would have. We accidentally came through the system first. You know, being a small family business, when you start a new project and proposal, you have to get to the other end as quick as you can because, you know, we've only got restricted resources, you know, money. I can't work for free forever. So we really focused on getting through the assessment processes as quick and as efficiently as we could. And I think the other bigger projects behind us have the luxury of more assets and more time, and unbeknownst to me, they ended up a long way behind in that process. I don't think they even started before I finished, to be honest. So, yeah, we're way out in the front, and as a result, people are using us as a test case, yeah.
What's it been like for you and your wife, Simone, as you've gone through this?
Oh, it's shocking, you know. We get death threats quite often and things like that, so that's not normal. That's not acceptable, but that's what's happening.
Has it cost you friendships?
Oh, yeah, I think that's widely known. I've got one former friend in particular who doesn't mind telling the world that, but, yeah, no doubt at all.
You say that you've been fighting this on your own. In fact, the case in front of the Resource Management and Planning Appeals Tribunal, you've had the backing of the Tasmanian taxpayer in your case, given that we've got Elisa Archer as a party to this, as well as the Department of Primary Industries, also a party. You're not really fighting it on your own. You've in fact got the resources of Tasmania's taxpayers helping bankroll and support your case the whole way through, don't you?
I don't think that's the case at all. So it is complicated, I'll give you that. So the tribunal's hearing all sorts of things. One of the questions raised by the council and the joint parties of Wilderness Society was whether the park's approval of our project was correct. So they called that park's approval into question. Now, I can't, as an operator or a family business person, a non-government employee, argue on behalf of the government that their own assessment was correct or not. So they've joined to specifically address that. And I think if you've got reporters in the room, they'll say that's exactly what's happening. And then the intervention from the Attorney General's office, that's got nothing to do with me. That's just a point of law that they're arguing. To be honest, I can't quite understand myself what they're arguing, and I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not going there.
So what happens from here? The matter's been in front of the RMPAT this week. What have you been told in terms of how long it will take for them to decide whether or not the Central Highlands Council was within its rights to say no to your proposal earlier in the year?
I unfortunately have no idea. So there's a bit of a suggested timeframe as to to how these decisions should be made, and we're already well past that. So we'll just get to a decision when we get to a decision, I'm afraid, yeah. Which is hard, you know.
So let's say that they say, in fact, the Central Highlands Council were wrong and what you're proposing should have been approved. In your mind, how long will it take to build these 4-ton temporary structures inside Lake Malbina or in the Lake Malbina area and get your first tourists in?
Without preempting any decisions, if we were able to do it, the actual construction parts, the buildings aren't 4 ton. That was a reference to how heavy some helicopters can lift. They're about 1,800 kilos, so we can drop them in place. And theoretically, you could do that in about 2 days. I suspect we could put our camp in. And equally, if we ever had to take it out, we could take it out in 2 days. So something like that.
And how long will it take, do you think, if you to actually get this tourism venture up and running in your mind, if you're successful?
Not long, hopefully, not long.
On Mornings Around Tasmania, Daniel Hackett's our guest this morning, the proponent of the Lake Malbina development. If you are successful, you're comfortable with the title of the man who really paved the way for more helicopter tourism in Tasmania?
Well, I might explain briefly how the helicopters are regulated out there. There's 85% of the World Heritage Area you are not allowed helicopters and will not be allowed. And I reckon that's great. I endorse that. Within that remaining 15%, there's other smaller areas where you're not allowed, such as parts of the Western Lakes, and I think that's great as well. That's where the prime fishing is, of course. So there's these slivers of country around the place where it is possible for up to 5 sites to be nominated. We'll be the first, that's for sure, but you won't see helicopters just buzzing around the place ever. That thin edge of the wedge notion on that point, I think, is just sloganism. It isn't fact, you know, it isn't possible.